The following program is brought to you by the friends and partners of Andrew Womack Ministries, celebrating 40 years of sharing God's unconditional love and grace. Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack. On today's program, Andrew explains how miraculous changes can take place in your life when you stop limiting God with small thinking. Now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Friday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today is the end of my first week of teaching on Don't Limit God. And I tell you, I'm excited about this. I'm excited because I know what this has done in my life, and I really believe that this is challenging a lot of you to begin to start taking the limits off of God and believe God for supernatural results in your life. You know, I've said this before this week, but it's one of my favorite sayings, that if your life isn't supernatural, it's superficial. And I think most of us are living way below what God wants for us. And so that's the reason that I'm teaching on this. Plus, this is something that God is speaking to me right now. You know, if you have watched any of our programs over the last month or so, we showed about what was happening in Uganda and some of the opportunities there. I mean, to literally change a nation. Boy, that's huge. That is just huge. It is such a blessing what God is doing in my life and through this ministry. You know, I was just talking to some of our staff, and they were just recently at a church meeting, and anyway, the finances in the church are down like 25 or 30%. There's some of the major ministries in the United States, some of them right here in Colorado Springs, that have laid off 20% of their employees, and they were giving some other statistics about that giving. Most of the major ministries are down, you know, like 20%. Did you know that we're setting records in our giving? We're setting records in every area, the number of people that are contacting, the money that's coming in. And I'm not saying that for any other purpose except to say that, you know what, you don't have to live like everybody else. When people are talking about an economic crisis and stuff, you know, the body of Christ should not be limited the same way that the non-believers are limited, because it says in Philippians 4:19 that my God shall supply all of your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Our finances are based on a heavenly economy, and in heaven they aren't having an economic crisis and people aren't panicking. You know, I'm not saying these things in a self-serving way. I'm not saying it to promote myself. I don't have any way of convincing people of that. You're just going to have to take my word for it. I'm saying these in a very thankful way that, you know what, praise God. As I've begun to start believing differently, we don't just have to go through cycles. We don't have to have our income down. You know, typically most ministers will say that during the summer there's a decrease in their finances because people take vacations, and of course vacations are expensive, and so they use the money that they would have been sending to the ministry and they use it for themselves. And I understand that those things happen. I'm not saying that that doesn't exist, but I'm saying I don't have to be bound by that. My bills are just the same in the summer as they are all the rest of the months, and so I just keep believing God. And you know what, we don't go down during the summer. Matter of fact, the summer months are some of our largest months. And it doesn't have to be that way. You do not have to be bound to all of these things. And this is what I'm trying to get across. God has set me free. It is changing. Here we are beginning to expand. We're doing things that it's just amazing. I don't want to be so specific that I take this teaching and make it so that it's all about me. But at the same time, I'm trying to use my personal examples to tell you that I'm bucking the trend. Things are working. We are prospering because of the way that I think and believe. And that's been influenced by God. God challenged me to take the limits off of Him. And I tell you, God is a good God during recession, during good times, bad times, regardless of who's in the White House, regardless of who's the president over the country that you live in. God is the same, and you do not have to be limited by this world's limitations. You can take those limits off. You can begin to start living in the supernatural. Boy, that excites me. It's working in my life, and I know that God wants it to work in your life. So the very first thing that I've dealt with this week, I used Psalms chapter 78, verse 41, about how that they limited God. And I've been talking about that God can be limited, which is completely against most people's theology. They think that God sovereignly does everything and that God is in control and that we're all like pawns that are just being moved around by God. That is not so. So the very first thing I did was just establish the fact that we can limit God. You have to accept that there is responsibility and accountability on your part to believe God and to pursue God. If you don't pursue it, you won't get it. Well, that is a powerful truth. What I want to do today is to talk about the second step. And again, I don't have a scripture that shows these steps. These are just my own thinking, things in my life, that unless you believe that God has a perfect plan for your life, and unless you get a revelation of what that plan is, you can't fulfill it accidentally. God's will does not automatically come to pass in your life. It doesn't come to pass in your life accidentally. It doesn't come to pass without effort on your part. You have to know God's will for it to come to pass. Here's a scripture over in Proverbs. Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. You know what? If you don't have a vision for your life, if you don't have God reveal to you a goal, a purpose for your life, why are you here? Then I can guarantee you, you are never going to accidentally fulfill it. You know, there's many people that kind of have this attitude about they feel basically like their life is their choice. They choose everything. They do their own deal. And if they are Christians and if they are committed Christians, then you might hear a prayer like, God, I ask you to use my business, to use my life. Take these things that I'm doing and bless them and use them for your glory. Well, I guess that's better than a person who doesn't even want to glorify God in their life. But you know what's better than that? Is a person who, rather than doing their thing and asking God to bless it, it's a person who says, God, what do you want me to do? And you find out God's will for your life. You follow God's leading. And if you are doing what God has commanded you to do, well, then it's automatically blessed. You don't ever, ever, ever have to ask God to bless what He's told you to do. You know, here's an illustration or an example of this. Then in my ministry, when I go to churches, when I go out and minister, I've often had people say, how much time do you spend praying and asking God and interceding for the blessing and the power of God to be manifest? How many prayer intercessors, how many prayer warriors do you have praying for you? My answer to both of those questions are none. I spend zero time asking and pleading with God to be there and to speak to people and touch people's lives. I have zero people that are intercessors. Now, I know that there's people that pray for me, and I appreciate that, but I'm saying I don't hire intercessors and do this. And this just kind of breaks the mold. It is not the model that most people use. And they say, well, how do you do that? Well, first of all, they will go back and they will cite Reese Howell, the intercessor, if you've ever heard of him. And there's others that they sent people in and they would pray and they would pray down the glory of God and pray for revival and do all of this. You know what? My example is the Word of God. Jesus never sent people to go intercede over a place that He was going. Now, He did send people before His face to go and publicize the fact that He was going to be there. He used promotion. He used publicity. He let people know that He was coming, but He didn't have people go in and intercede for Him. There is no indication in Scripture that Jesus spent time begging God to do things because He was totally in the Father's will. And when you are in the center of God's will, there is a blessing. There's an anointing that's on that. You know, God would be unjust to call me to do what I'm doing, to be on television, to travel the world, to preach, to put out tapes, books, CDs, do all of these things. God would be unjust to reveal to me that that's His will and then not equip me to do it and not anoint me to do it. Where God guides you, He will always provide you with His ability and His things to get it done. And so really, the only thing that you have to do is just make sure that you're in the center of God's will. And if you are in God's will, then you can trust and rely upon it. For instance, Jesus, in the 4th chapter of the book of Luke, when He went to His hometown of Nazareth, He got up on the Sabbath day and he opened the scriptures and found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind." This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Notice what he did. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." He didn't say, "I'm praying that the Spirit of the Lord would come upon me. Oh God, pour out your Spirit." See, this is the way it's done in church so often. They come and they beg God to be with them when the Bible says that he will never leave us nor forsake us. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. We got all of these promises and yet we just ignore that and we plead for God to come because we don't feel him. We haven't had a goosebump. Nobody's run the aisle. Nobody's screamed, fallen on the floor yet. And so we just operate totally out of sight, not by faith, and we beg God to come. I couldn't tell you the number of churches that I've been in that they take me in a back room and they pray, "Oh God, anoint Andrew. Oh God, just give him a word. Oh God, speak through him." And you know what? I don't sit there and offend people and say things. But in my heart, I sit there and I'm just saying, "Father, thank you that like Jesus, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for you have anointed me." I don't spend any time asking God to anoint me and to be with me. God did those things. When he called me, he anointed me. God's the one that called me and God has equipped me. And I believe this, just like Jesus, the Spirit of the Lord is already upon me. I don't beg and ask God to do what he's already promised to do. So I say all of that because there are a lot of people that are going through their life without a surety, without assurance, that they are in the center of God's will. They're doing their own thing and hoping that God will bless it and begging and pleading with God to bless it. A better way is just to find out what God called you to do and do it. And there is a supernatural anointing. There is a supernatural flow. There is a liberty and a freedom and a joy and a peace that is on your life when you are cooperating with God and following him and doing what he told you to do that you can't get any other way. And so, it is absolutely essential. If you don't want to limit God, you've got to make sure that you know what God's plan for your life is. Not just do your own thing and ask God to bless it. What has God created you for? And this is a point that some people don't really embrace this. Again, I think it goes back to our humanistic world that we live in that is so secular that doesn't recognize God. They think that everything is out of their own ability and it's just circumstance. Evolution caused all of this. And you could go a lot deeper than what I'm saying right here. But our secular world basically just believes that things are pretty much on our own and we do our own thing. I believe that God has a purpose for every person. We did not evolve. You were created by God. You were created for a specific purpose. Every talent, every ability, the color of your skin, your sex, whether you're male or female, the time that you were born here in the history of this world, the country that you were born in, everything about you was orchestrated by God to accomplish a specific purpose. You are not just a mistake. I don't care if your parents knew you were coming or not. God knew you were coming. Scripture says over in Psalms chapter 139, that you were curiously wrought, and that even before you were completely formed in your mother's belly, God knew every part and knew everything about you. You are not a mistake. You were created by God, and you were created for a purpose. Some people think that you basically just go through your life and you let circumstances kind of dictate what you're going to be. You've got this talent, you got this ability, and so you start doing these things and you just kind of go with the flow. Most people have about the same control over their life as a pinball in a pinball machine. They believe that God just kind of launches you out there and then you just bounce and react and go back and forth depending on what happens and you just work your way down to the end and you hope that things worked out good. I tell you, that's not the way that God created us to be. You should be more like an arrow that God has pointed in a certain direction. And man, that ought to be your focus, and you ought to be headed in that direction and not look to the right or to the left. But you can't do that if you aren't absolutely convinced that God created you and designed you for a specific purpose. And let me just share this truth with you. You only have one chance of fulfilling God's will. What I mean by that is, you can't just do multiple things. Now, you have the freedom to do multiple things. And there are some of you that are so talented that, you know what, you could prosper in many different areas. I'm not saying that that can't happen, but I'm saying you can't fulfill God's will by doing multiple things. God only has one thing. God has a plan. It's not God just winding you up and just pointing you in a direction and letting you choose and do things. No, God has a plan for your life. I believe that God has a plan for what kind of job you have, what your life is supposed to be. He's got people that are going to come across your path in a lifetime that if you don't reach your potential and if you don't do what God designed you to do, then they are going to go without. Either that or God will have to raise up somebody else and get it to them another way. But God has it planned that you are supposed to reach people. You know, I know that this program is viewed all over the world, and so not all of you will be familiar with this, but every Christmas season, I always watch this show, It's a Wonderful Life, with Jimmy Stewart in it. I just think that that is a powerful, powerful point that is being made. This man, you know, his situation is so bad, he wants to commit suicide, and God sends down an angel who basically grants his wish that he had never been born. And he gets to see what the world would have been like if he had never been born. And even though he was having troubles, you know what? There was a lot of good things. He had saved his brother's life. And when he gets his wish granted, he sees that his brother died. And therefore, in World War II, all of the thousands of people that his brother saved their life on this ship, all of those people died. He begins to start seeing the people that went to jail, the people that were drunks, the people that were failure, the heartache, the sorrow, the people that were oppressed. And it just shows how much one person's life affects other people. And I don't believe that this is random. You know what? I believe that God raised me up. I'm not saying this in a prideful way. I'm saying it in a thankful way, just based on what Scripture is saying. But I believe that God raised me up and has touched my life and has given me an ability to teach the Word of God and has put a message in my mouth and in my heart and has raised people up to help us to get this message out. And there are millions of people all over this world whose lives have been impacted. There are people, I was just reading an email of a person in South Africa who their little baby was born dead. And they said because they had been watching the programs and because they had been taking the teaching, they knew what to do. And they took their authority and they spoke directly to the child and saw the child raised from the dead. And they were just praising God and saying, thank you, thank you. Our child would have been dead today if you hadn't have shared these truths, if God hadn't have put our paths come across. I believe that God ordained that. And I believe that whether or not you're going to be on television or whatever, there are people that God has ordained for your life to touch other people. You know, this is one of the sad things that is happening with all of the abortion today. We don't know what the original plans for all of these millions and millions of people that have been killed in their mother's womb. We don't know what the full potential is. We don't know what the impact on us is. Did you know that they abort a lot of babies because they are their siblings had these birth defects, and so the chances, the odds of them having a birth defect are high. And I forget the details of this. I'm going to mess it up. You can write in and tell me what it's supposed to be. But it's one of our great composers, Mozart or Beethoven or who knows. One of those guys I forget the exact number of children, but anyway, there had been all of these problems, and today he would have been aborted if they were operating by the same standards. Praise God that we didn't miss that music and the contributions that he's made to the world. And yet, I can guarantee you, out of the millions and millions of children that have been aborted, what has happened to us in the area of sciences and just all of the things? Who knows what the potential is? I'm trying to get across that, you know what, if you want to take the limits off of God, the first thing that I talked about is you got to recognize that God has given you a responsibility and that you have to accept responsibility and recognize that there's things that we can do to limit God. The second thing that I've started talking about today is you've got to recognize God's got a plan for your life. You've got to find out what that plan is. Where there is no vision, the people perish. If you don't have a vision of what God has called you to do, there is no way that you are going to accidentally fulfill it. You've got to recognize God's got a purpose for you. What is God's purpose? You know, I teach on this when I have live audiences, and I think probably the smallest number of people I've ever had respond to an invitation when I say, how many of you don't know what God's purpose is and you want to pray and receive a revelation of God's will for your life? The smallest number I think I've had respond is about 60%. And sometimes it'll be 80% or 90% of Christians will stand up for prayer because they don't know for sure what God's purposes for their life are. You know, that's tragic. And it's really reflective of how little emphasis has been placed upon this. If you want to start taking the limits off of God, you got to quit doing your own thing and asking God to bless it. And you need to find out, what is God's purpose for your life? What does God want with you? Why did God make you? And I'm just telling you, I'm saying this in love, but you will never, never be happy or successful, fulfilled until you find out God's purpose. We see this all of the time today. We see people that are rich, famous, they're on the covers of the magazines, they've got everything that the world has to offer them, and yet they're depressed, and they're discouraged, and they're miserable, and they're having problems. I tell you, the most fulfilling thing in the world is knowing that you're doing what God's called you to do. You know, I've used this example before, but I spoke one time at a business, and when I came out, there was an Oriental lady sitting there, and I was just visiting with her, and she said, who are you? And I said, well, I'm a preacher, and I came here and I shared with the other employees. And she says, who do you preach for? And I told her it was Jesus, and she says, you must be the one. And she told me that she was a Buddhist, and the night before she was going through her Buddhist rituals and praying, but she felt unfulfilled, and she says, God, I know that you're real, but I just can't believe that Buddhism is it. Would you reveal yourself? And a big ball came up and just, it bounced around in front of her and it radiated light. And she knew in her heart that this was God. And she said, who are you? And she heard an audible voice say, tomorrow I'm going to send you a man who will tell you who I am. And here I was. And she says, you're the one. And I said, you're right, I am the one. And I told her and got her born again, baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I tell you what, when I left there, I thought, God, I know I was in the right place at the right time. You told that woman last night that I'd be there. And boy, what a joy it is. What a sense of fulfillment to know that you are in the right place at the right time doing what God called you to do. You know, if you don't know that, you need to know it. And I'd like to encourage you to just begin the process. I'm out of time today, but I'm going to continue talking about this all next week on our program. I encourage you to listen in. And also, please get these materials. I've got this brand new album out entitled Don't Limit God. And I'm teaching on these exact things that you're hearing here. Matter of fact, you can get the DVDs of our television program, or you can get this CD album. Please listen as our announcer gives you that information and call or write. And then join me again next Monday as we continue the gospel truth.
Andrew's five-part teaching titled, Don't Limit God, was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available in either a CD album or a DVD album for a gift of any amount. Request CD album T1060C or DVD album T3204D when you contact us. You can also get Andrew's teaching as seen on TV by requesting DVD album T1060D when you send a gift of any amount to this ministry. Your gifts help Andrew bring the almost too good to be true news of the gospel into countless homes every day. We can't overemphasize how grateful we are to you. The second teaching in the audio CD album titled Don't Limit God Part 2 is also available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to send a gift, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this second teaching free of charge. Request teaching TK148C when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Everyone who sends a gift today will receive the bonus Don't Limit God sticker. This reversible static decal will cling to your window or mirror, reminding you not to limit God with small thinking. Visit our website where you can order ministry materials online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. On our website, you'll not only find materials from today's broadcast, you'll find a wealth of resources free for you to download for yourself and to share with others. Or you can use your credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If you prefer to write to us, our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. We hope to hear from you today.
I mentioned on our program today about this teaching that I did at our Gospel Truth Seminar in Phoenix, Arizona, and I tell you, it was just powerful. If you've never come to one of our Gospel Truth Seminars, I'd encourage you to go to the effort. Some people think, well, what do I want to go for? I hear you on television. I see you. What is different? And there's a huge difference. The praise and the worship. My wife, Jamie, ministers, and it's really powerful. Plus, we pray with people. We see awesome miracles happen. And there is a difference in the way that I minister sitting right here on television and the way that I minister in a live audience. I'm responding to the crowd as I believe I'm directed by the Holy Spirit. You'd be blessed. There's a lot of things to benefit from, so please listen as our announcer gives you some information and join us at one of our Gospel Truth Seminars.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Houston, Texas next week for a Gospel Truth Seminar February 12th through the 14th. He'll also be in Atlanta, Georgia, March 5th through the 7th, Colorado Springs for the Karis Bible College Weekend, March 12th through the 14th, and in Merritt Island, Florida, April 19th through the 22nd. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net. I'd like to invite you to join me for our Summer Family Bible Conference. It's going to be June the 29th through July the 3rd. It's at our facility here in Colorado Springs. It starts on a Monday night. We have a special barbecue for those of you that have children. We have great children's ministry. There are special room rates available at different hotels. So remember, this is June the 29th through July the 3rd right here in Colorado Springs.
Why not plan a vacation this year around the Word of God? Call 719-635-1111 for complete information.